Okay. Well, it's a great pleasure for me to be here and to speak such an interesting conference and important institution. So I want to thank Dimitri for the invitation, for the opportunity. So today I will speak about a quaternary Schrödinger equation, mainly about a joint work almost completed with Professor Louis Jean-Jean from Besançon. So the main object of this talk will be this equation, which is quaternary. Well, maybe I can write it here. So the strange object is this one, okay? So the function phi is complex valued, or p is the nonlinear, is the power nonlinearity, lambda is a positive constant. So in some sense, this term helps the Laplacian. So this physical model appears in different contexts. I just quoted one superfluid film equation in plasma physics, and it is a more accurate model for some physical phenomena. And the quaternary term has a stabilizing effect in some sense, which will be clear during the talk. So concerning the initial value problem, I have to say that the theory is not satisfactory concerning local Bose-Lennard due to the phenomena of loss of derivatives, which is typical of quaternary problems. And so even if you have a Galliardo-Nierenberg type inequality, you cannot have global Bose-Lennard due to the fact that you need high regularity on the initial data. So now I said this, but there are results also of blow-up, which are of the same order of the main theorem, main result about local Bose-Lennard of the Cauchy problem. And the best result available now is by Colin Jean-Jean Esquassino. Professor Colin is here in the audience. So here E is the integer part. Okay? So you can see that the regularity on the initial data needed is quite high, but this is a typical fact for quaternary problem. So you see this, you have so local Bose-Lennard is high regularity space, and you have also conservation laws. So the proof is based on energy methods and use Gibbs transforms to overcome the loss of derivatives. So I have to say that concerning the problem of loss of derivatives in different contexts, this problem appears in different, very different contexts, like the study of quasi-periodic solution of Hamiltonian PDEs due to the small divisor problems. And in that context, there are works in which you are able to treat cases of Sobolev regularity by using a method which is reminiscent of the high method. So a kind of truncation of high frequencies, not exact truncation, a kind of smoothed way to treat high frequency. And I can mention the works of Max Berti on Hamiltonian PDEs and his collaborators. I've cheated a little bit in the statement in the sense that they require a smoother nonlinearity, okay? So to do this, but it's okay. So the main result about the Cauchy problem for this, I would say Professor Colin, which is here in the audience, Colin Jean-Jean Esquassino, a fundamental paper by Koenig, Pons, Vega, Lange, and Poppenberg. So I have to say that Nash Moser in this context has been used mainly by Professor Poppenberg. And but the proof, the most general result is this, and this is a different method. And I apologize for the not complete set of references. So in any case, even if you do not have local Bose-Lennard, well, you can try to study to find solutions which are global in time. And the natural answer is a kind of separation of variables. So this is not a stationary solution, this is periodic because you have dependence on time. And the profile U has to satisfy this quasi-linear stationary Schrodinger equation. Omega is the time frequency and lambda is a parameter as before. So maybe I write also this here. Well, mainly the remaining part of the talk, I will take omega equal to 1, but this is not a thing that you can remove by scaling. It's just to simplify a little bit the things, but you can treat the general case with omega. But I want to notice that there are too many different scales in order to be able to totally remove omega from the equation. Okay, because there are, this is a scale, this is a different one, this is a different scaling. So the equation is variational, okay? You have an energy, and in some sense, this is the Euler-Lagrange equation of this function, but for quaternary problems, there is an issue of regularity, so one should be careful in which sense one says that this is the derivative. But here I do not care too much because there is a magic change of variable. So you use this change of variable. So V equal R minus 1 of U, and R must satisfy T of D. Okay? Maybe I'll write it here. Well, the properties of the solution of TSOD are wonderful. So you have everything, so infinity, you have the control on the, you can study the control at plus infinity of the solution, and all these kind of things. And after the change of variable, you end up with this equation, okay? And the change of variable, I think in the first place I've seen it is a paper by Colan and Jean-Jean. So the equation changes in this way. And so it becomes semi-linear, so much easier to treat. And because these kind of equations can be treated by the standard Bresticki-Lyon theory, which is 30 years old. So this is the magic thing. Well, it doesn't work, for example, when you have the P-Laplacian, it doesn't work. So this really works because there is a kind of algebraic geometric thing between these two terms. So this is the most general result by Colangelo-Jean-Scorsina, which says almost everything of what you want to know for the ground state. Okay? So I didn't mention, but you can have bound state and ground state. Ground state are solution which minimizes the energy. So you have a much higher range of exponent than the semilinear case. Because this is what I meant at the beginning with stabilizing effort, because this is stronger than this in some sense. And so it can allow the nonlinearity to be bigger. And this from here, you see it because R of V grows less than linearly. It grows exactly in the way for which this is the correct exponent. Okay? So the solution is this, so just a change of a positive, but apart from changing the phase. And so it is more or less what you want to know for the ground state, but something. So it is positive, radially symmetric decreasing function, C2, and you have exponential decay of all the derivatives. And in the case n equal 1, there exists a unique solution, which minimizes the energy, apart from the invariances of the equation. So, but there is something which is not proved. So I will mention later, but, okay, yes. So many open problems, some of these I will address in the talk. So uniqueness of the ground state for higher dimension. The non-degeneracy, I will give you later the precise definition. And orbital stability. But orbital stability is not just elliptic. Of course, you have the dynamics involved. And of course, it is modulo the local Bell-Posner in the correct range of regularity. Okay. So the transformation does not work too well in the complete evolution because there is a problem with the time derivative. So it appears a coefficient here, and you cannot remove that too easily. So you cannot take advantage of this transformation. Evolution, at least not able. But you can have partial results very easily when you take a small v, a small lambda. Because you can see when lambda is zero from T's perspective, Yes. The fact is that if you and you want to use the original same equation, it is much more complicated because the issue of regularity. Now I tell you, this line, this line. Yes, can we deduce uniqueness and non-degeneracy from the properties of the ground state of the same equation? Yes, now I'll just state very quickly the two theorems. But So the proof is done through a kind of, the proof of this fact is done through bifurcation theory, very easily. But when you have a quasi-linear term, it is more difficult, because also there is the issue of regularity. But, so using this absolutely not natural range of exponents for this equation, you can find, I will tell you later the precise my precise definition of non-degeneracy, but you can have uniqueness and non-degeneracy for small lambda, just relying on the non-degeneracy uniqueness of the solution of the ground state of the semilinear equation. So by the way, in this paper, I proved also the fact that the solution is infinity, but it is a very easy thing. They just forgot to do it. A very standard bootstrap argument. So now we'll start to speak about this joint work is almost complete, but not totally complete. So I will remove the unnatural request of H1 subcriticality. It has nothing to do with the equation, okay? It has nothing to do. So, and then I will take lambda equals one, so not just more. So, and we have these theorems. So uniqueness up to invariances of the equation, which are translation and phase invariance. But there is also another one, which is the Laplacian is invariant with respect to rotation. But of course, I'm not interested in that because the infinitesimal generator of rotation does not lie in the space I'm looking in which I'm studying the problem. So it is a thing to say. Yes, I have this. I will comment in a minute on this lower bound on exponent p, which probably is crucial. Okay. So now I say what is the theorem, what is the definition of my definition of non-degeneracy. So I is my energy with parameters lambda and mu equal to one. So the linearized equation around the ground state as a kernel, which is just spun by the infinitesimal generators of the invariances of the equation. So this is the main. I have also that I second is an index zero for domain. So this more or less completes in this range of exponent what you want to know for the stationary problem for the ground state. And then there are other open problems for the ground state, I think. So I will not be able to exactly convince you of this fact, but more or less, uniqueness and non-degeneracy have the same proof. So they're really, really close. So almost all the proof of the uniqueness is the main part of the proof of non-degeneracy. So the difficult part of the proof of non-degeneracy is 90%, more or less all the lemmas you need are coming from uniqueness. Okay? Then I have this question, I don't know, maybe some of you can just very easily answer to this. So I told you that there is this lower bound in the range of the exponent. So this is not an exponent which comes from nothing. It comes from the fact that above this exponent, you have a mountain path geometry. So you can find a solution, a ground state solution of that equation through mountain path theorem by Ambrosetti and Rabinowitz. Well, in the other range, you use this, so it relies, I guess, on this strange transformation, so the geometry is less clear. So I'm wondering if there is a relationship between the mountain path geometry and the uniqueness of the ground state. Okay, I don't know, maybe it is easily false or easily true, I don't know. So what is the scheme of the proof of uniqueness? So this relies on, so we reduce our problem to NOD. So this relies on, of course, the theorem of Collins-Jensen-Squassina. The fact that you can do this relies on that theorem, and so on previous results by Gidas-Nirenberg and all these kind of things. And so the proof is more or very similar to the proof of Kuang and MacLeod in the 70s. But if you try to see, to read the paper of Kuang, it is not that easy. I mean, at least for me, which I'm not an expert of OD. And, but there is a very far simple proof in the semilinear case, which uses a kind of very simple thing, a monotonicity formula, which really simplifies the argument and makes the picture of the proof much more clear. Okay. So, take advantage of some techniques used by Tao. Okay. So I hope so. Without loss of generality, I comment on this before. We can take omega equal one, but you cannot scale it away. So we have that the ground state is radial, real up to phase shift positive. So we reduce the proof of uniqueness to the following boundary value problem. So u prime of 0 equal to 0, and u of r equal to 0. So you want solution like, so positive solution, which do this. Okay, so this alpha, this is u. So I have u prime of 0 equal to 0, so here it is flat. No, sorry, later alpha. And here you have u of plus infinity, which is 0. So when we have AOD, one way to catch a particular solution is the shooting method. So we classify initial data in the following way. Now I'll just give you a picture. So subcriticality, when you do not touch 0. You stay far away from 0. Critical, if you touch 0, but asymptotically in some sense. And supercritical, if you cross the real axis. So what is the, so this guy is, it is a kind of saying our theorem of uniqueness in a different way. Because now we need to show that there exists only one critical position. So how to do that? Well, I'm not going to say too much about this proof, also because it is, we need slightly more to complete it. But, and also it is technical. The strategy is topological, I would say, and of ODE.